Hello, and welcome to Epic People, a global community of researchers, creators, and innovators doing ethnography for impact in businesses and organizations. In this podcast series, we are focusing on reflections as we celebrate 20 years of ethnographic praxis, and as a lead up to our 20th conference in LA this August, we're looking back on our past themes, from sociality in 2005 to friction in 2023. Our conference themes from the past two decades have not lost relevance, but may well have evolved, shifted, and taken on new meanings. Epic People examines those shifts, featuring longtime and newer members of this vibrant and global community. Enjoy.
Hi, my name is Dawn Nafis, and I was chair of Epic in 2018, and my conference theme was evidence. So question one, describe the theme and why you chose it. So back in 2018, I'd say the landscape was really shifting at that point, and in particular, our relationship with the quantitative world. So there were a lot of companies that were increasingly turning to data science, increasingly instrumenting software for software products to discover patterns of use. And really, there was a sense in which the insights that you could get from data science were starting to compete with ethnographic insights. And there was a lot of consternation about this. But if you really thought about it, at least this was my view, data science was also vastly more compatible with ethnographic methods than, say, survey methods ever were, right? So the old quant-qual sets of debates, it seemed to me really didn't hold much in this newer environment. So our goal really in choosing evidence, and my co-chair was actually a data scientist, was really to encourage people to think about this relationship and these new cast of characters on the landscape, who many of whom we might actually have something in common. And that thing was really a careful attention to what the evidence of a situation actually was. So question two. What were a few memorable presentations or discussions at that year's conference? So in our closing plenary, that was, to me, the closing plenary was the absolute highlight of the conference. And Elizabeth Churchill had chaired that plenary, and I thought she did a near legendary job of facilitating what was in theory a panel discussion, but actually was a kind of a pantomime, which was sort of wonderful. So the topic was about fairness in data, what now might be called responsible AI. And Elizabeth did a kind of an impression of a super jerky, oblivious boss, the kind of person who spends their time speaking in neoliberal platitudes, looks after the bottom line, generally wants to distance themselves from the social world as much as possible. And so then it was up to the rest of the panelists to try to persuade this jerky boss that the company should indeed look after things like fairness, disparities, social impacts, the small stuff. And so while it was a kind of a pantomime and really quite a rousing one, it was actually among the most real interactions I've seen at Epic. Really a kind of, for me, it role modeled what good advocacy actually could look like and what you're likely to encounter when you try to do it. Okay, question three. Fast forward to today, how would you interpret your theme differently or update it for today's industry? So in 2018, I think we at the time took for granted that evidence mattered at all, that that's kind of why we were there, right? Chatbots that just made up things weren't a thing yet. But in 2024, that is really quite different. I don't know if I could say with a straight face that's really true anymore. And I think about the writer Cory Doctorow, who calls, and again, this is specific to the tech industry, but he calls the change in this tech industry landscape a process of enshittification, where there's a kind of an initial scramble to capture the hearts and minds of end users. And I think 2018 was right, almost, I think, maybe an inflection point of that. And where it sort of changed from capture the hearts and minds of end users to increasingly, you know, a consolidated quasi-monopolistic situation where companies were using people's inability to leave their services, right? Inability to leave their networks, you know, or pricing mechanisms or all the rest of it as a way of extracting monetary value. So to my mind, that actually explains a lot about the recent layoffs and in particular how badly user experience has been hit, which I actually don't think has anything to do with what researchers could have said or should have done, what we could have done differently. But I really think it has more to do with this decoupling of end user value from profits. Why would you, right? If you're, you know, if you run a company, why would you invest in creating end user value if that's not actually where your profits are coming from anymore? So at this stage in shitification, really any company that you can find that's willing to still act on the basis of something that you might call evidence that is actually seeking to improve end user value, that's something to hold on to dearly in my book. So question four, what kinds of conversations or topics are you hoping will come up in this year's themes, which are foundations, displacements, and generation? So I think for many of us, you know, based on the kinds of topics that I've been describing, really any notion of a foundation has been swept under our feet, right? Many of us have been displaced out of jobs. Those of us who haven't have a deep, deep survivor guilt about that fact. Many of us are struggling to find a place in a job at all, right? On top of that, climate change is intensifying, you know, almost every aspect of life. And the displacements we feel now at the job market level are only going to become more physical, more literal. Houses on beaches being swept away, wildfires burning them up, all sorts of fun stuff, but real stuff. So of course, you know, we all need to eat. We all need to put a roof over our heads. And that means jobs that, you know, we're not always super happy about. But that very real need can also kind of cloud our thinking a little bit. And I've been guilty of this as well. Seduces us into a Margaret Thatcher style belief that there is no alternative, right? Like, what are you going to do? And so what I would hope this year is that we did actually have more people asking, okay, is that really the case? Is it really true that we have no alternative? Because we're being pressed more and more and more into finding some. And so I'd love a deeper discussions about what the alternatives to those twin problems actually are. So question five, what's the one thing that you think researchers and ethnographers should be doing right now? And again, building on my last set of comments, I'd say that is raising sustainability issues over and over and over again, and again some more. Regardless of whether or not it was in the brief in the first place, regardless of whether or not the boss wants to hear it. One trick that I think we have as ethnographers is we are incredibly good at smuggling in information that no one asked for or wanted to hear, right? That's in essence what we do. Part of the nature of ethnography itself is the surprise, right? So I don't think it matters that, you know, we ever persuade the client or the manager, right, or the executive to act on it, right? Typically they won't. But what's going on is that sustainability is being framed as something that's outside the room. It's a problem for policymakers. It's a problem of, you know, responsible or irresponsible consumers. It's a problem for the ESG people to make their little report. And that has got to change. And we have a role in changing that by simply raising it on the regular again and again and again. So question six, what are the three words that you would use to describe the current state of ethnography and industry? I don't think I'm the right person to find those words, actually. I've been ensconced in my small corner for a very long time, and I don't think I have the broad view that would be really required to find those words. So question seven, how has EPIC in general and attending the conference in particular contributed to your professional development? So I I've been finding that, and I think I really deepened my understanding of this when I chaired, which is that EPIC really is, at the end of the day, a community. We rely on each other in so many ways for solidarity, for ideas, for company and connection, and of course, jobs. When I need to remember that I'm not alone in this, EPIC is where I go, and I hope you will too.
Thanks for listening. As everything with EPIC, this series could not have been done without an amazing effort from volunteers and a small but mighty EPIC team. Thanks go to the EPIC People Reflections podcast team, Dustin Cascaden, Elizabeth Haywood, Evan Hanover, Marta Kachurian-Zapan, and Martha Cotton. To learn more about EPIC, attend the conference in LA from August 18th to the 21st, and to learn about other ways to be involved in our community, please go to 2024.epicpeople.org. Thanks.